Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Mark Loranger. He is CEO and president of Chrysalis, a Los Angeles-based nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a pathway to self-sufficiency for homeless and low-income individuals. So thank you for joining me today, Mark. Appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about Chrysalis. What is the organization all about?
Chrysalis is a nonprofit that works with the homeless and folks in poverty to help them get on the path to self-sufficiency by finding and retaining employment. We believe that homelessness is a very, very complicated issue, of course, and there are many root causes and many ways to approach it. In our view, the way to help somebody solve it once and for all is to have an income, meaning have a job. And so our focus for 34 years has been on helping folks that have been disconnected from the workforce, be it because of an unstable housing situation or criminal justice involvement or what have you, helping them remove the barriers that are holding them back so that they can rejoin the community and live a fulfilling life. And having a job is a really big part of that.
Now, how did Chrysalis all get started?
Chrysalis began many years ago with an idea by a guy by the name of John Dillon. He had served a year of service in downtown LA's Skid Row neighborhood, working for Catholic Charities, working with the homeless. And after he did his year of service, he thought, gee, this is work that I feel I'm really called to. I'm going to start my own nonprofit. I'm going to call it Chrysalis. And originally what the organization was doing those many years ago was handing out food and clothing and other resources to folks in the Skid Row area, things that a lot of people were doing. After about 2 years, John and the folks he was working with decided, you know, we're just not making a difference here. We're not getting folks the help they need to move out of this neighborhood and get on with their lives if that's what they choose to do. We really need to be talking about jobs, and nobody was talking about that in those days. So that was kind of the pivot point for the organization, and ever since then, that's been our laser focus. We don't pretend that you can't talk about homelessness without talking about housing and mental health care and all kinds of other issues, and we partner with really great organizations that do that stuff really well. But our focus has always been on the employment side.
And what city did Chrysalis get started?
It started in downtown L.A. In the Skid Row neighborhood 34 years ago. And then over the years, we expanded into Santa Monica and into Pacoima in the San Fernando Valley. And then later this year, we plan to open an office in northern Orange County in Anaheim. That'll be our fourth office.
And speaking of the Orange County office, what was your biggest reason for expanding into Orange County? And did you encounter any noteworthy challenges that you had to overcome in order to make it happen?
Well, it's the first office we've opened in a long time, so we went through quite a process trying to figure out where should we go. We knew we wanted to open a new office. We had recently done a strategic plan with our board and committed ourselves to doubling our programmatic outcomes over the next few years. So part of that is to open up to three new offices. So we had to pick that first one. So we did a pretty thorough analysis of the Los Angeles and Orange County area to figure out where would we be most needed? Where's the best fit for what we do? And where do we think we could really not only make an impact, but have that impact be sustainable for the long term? And Orange County kept coming to the top of our list for a variety of different reasons. There's a strong need there. It may not get the attention from a homeless and poverty standpoint as LA County does, but of course LA County is so much larger. There really is a need, particularly in northern Orange County, for what we do. And after talking with many community leaders, other nonprofit leaders, politicians, it was clear that nobody was doing quite what we were doing. Nobody was focused on the job piece of this problem. And so that was pretty much the piece of information we needed. Nobody else is doing it. There's a strong need. We ought to give it a try.
What are your top three goals or objectives with the new location?
Well, we want to make a difference in helping people get jobs, first and foremost. And so in our first year in Orange County, we want to help 100 people do exactly that, get on that pathway to self-sufficiency by finding employment. So that's an important part of what we want to do. We also want to engage the community in our work. We make a pretty strong use of volunteers in our program. Volunteers help us create resumes for clients, teach classes, and do a number of other things with our clients so that the case management work can be done by our professional staff. So they're a huge help to us, but that means we need to engage a lot of community members to help us do that work. And then the third thing is we need to find employers that are willing to hire the men and women that we work with. And sometimes there are perceptions out there about folks that might have had a spotty work history or criminal convictions or what have you. So a big part of what we do is work with employers to understand who our clients are in reality and how they can be a real asset to their organization.
Yes, and that was going to be my next question. What is the actual process? How do you find these people jobs? Do you treat them all individually? I imagine you have to.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Every client that comes to us has got a different story, and they've got different goals, and they've got a different combination of things that might be holding them back. So although we work with literally thousands of clients every year, my staff is working with every single one as an individual and trying to figure out what exactly is it that we can do with this client to help them get to the goal that they have set, not one that we set or somebody else set for them, but the goal that they've set. So for some of them, it's putting them through our job readiness classes, helping them brush up a resume, relatively a light touch, maybe building some self-confidence and putting them in the right direction for job leads. For others, it's a much more intensive process. Perhaps they haven't worked in many, many years. Perhaps they've never had a traditional job. And so building up their communication skills, their soft skills, their all the job readiness things that for most of us maybe we learned when we were 16, our average client is in their 40s. So for many of them, it's a pretty long road to go to get to the point where they're able to go down to the local grocery store or coffee house or a warehouse to apply for that job. So every client is treated differently based on their needs. How we help our clients get their jobs are really, there's three ways that we do it. The first is all of this work that I mentioned with the case manager and classes and all the rest of that. That's what we call our self-directed job search. And for many clients, after working with us for just a few weeks, we're able to jump on Craigslist with them and help them find jobs that they can apply for, go in, interview with, and land the job. And that's fantastic. But there's a significant set of our clients that because their resume is essentially a blank sheet of paper, maybe there's some soft skills deficits, we got to work with them for quite some time. And in fact, we will hire them ourselves. We run and operate three different businesses that provide transitional work for clients that need it. They can work for us up to 12 months to build some real vocational skills, but even more importantly, just to learn what it's like to go to work every day and respond to supervision, work on a team, work through some of the issues that might pop up in the workplace that they've never experienced before. We find that for some clients, that's what they need to then take that next step of getting the outside job, meaning a job that's not on our payroll. And then the third tool we've got available to us is a team of staff that are in the community working with employers, kind of serving as a staffing agency, if you will, talking to employers about what are you looking to hire, what do you need, let's see who we've got in our program that would be the perfect fit for this. No guarantee either way that the employer is going to hire that person, but we can at least make that connection and kind of ease the pathway from a client to get that first interview that hopefully they will land the job all on their own.
You had a successful partnership with Curtis Stone last year. Tell us about Curtis Stone.
Yeah, Curtis is great. He's a fairly well-known chef. He's been on the Food Network and America's Top Chef and some of those type of shows. He's got two restaurants in West Los Angeles, Maud and Gwen. And he came to a fundraising event that we had about 5 years ago and heard one of our clients speak from the stage. And after hearing that client speak, he thought, I really would love to have somebody like that working for me. I think I'll talk to these Chrysalis folks and see if I can hire somebody. So he hired a gentleman by the name of Daryl Stevens into his first restaurant, and he hired Daryl as a dishwasher. That was 5 years ago. Daryl is now running the back of house for his second restaurant, supervising a team of folks that are preparing the restaurant for opening every single day. And these are very, very high-end restaurants. Restaurants are that I got to save up my paychecks to go to his places. Since that time, Curtis has hired about 30 of our men and women that work in, start as dishwashers or other back-of-house positions, and some are working their way up to being chefs. And you can imagine the pride that somebody feels when they get to work in a first-class restaurant serving some of the best food that we have in Southern California, working with a famous chef side-by-side. They never would have thought they would have an opportunity to do that. And yet, Curtis does it because not only is it the right thing to do for the community and he feels good about doing it, but his data shows that our men and women stick around twice as long as his average new hire, which means it's a smart business decision for him. So he's getting hardworking, loyal folks that not only meet the conditions of the job, but thrive in that environment. So it's a good business decision, and it also demonstrates to the community that men and women that are just looking for that next chance, that's all they need is that second chance.
Now, is there a difference between the homeless in Orange County as compared to Los Angeles?
Well, there's certainly a difference in the scale. You know, in Orange County, I think the latest count from 2017 was that there were around 4,800 individuals on any given night experiencing homelessness. And in LA County, the number is closer to 54,000. But when you think about the concentrations of homelessness and poverty in Orange County, particularly in northern Orange County, it's a real challenge. And I think all of us have seen the press coverage about how policymakers in Orange County are really trying everything they can to address this problem. It's been on the front page of the paper. It's been front of mind for a lot of policymakers over the last year, particularly along the riverbed. This is a problem that every urban community in America has. And I think here on the West Coast, we have a particular challenge because the weather's great. You know, we're not Chicago. We don't have harsh winters like New York does. So it's a year-round problem. We've got a very high cost of living here, of housing. You put all that together, and it makes homelessness, unfortunately, all too common throughout Southern California.
Are you finding that homeless people are coming from other states into Southern California because it's easier to be homeless in Southern California?
You know, that every now and then we hear anecdotal stories about that, and I haven't dug into the numbers in Orange County as detailed as I have in LA County, but I know in our demographic studies, the vast majority of folks that are homeless in LA County are from LA County. So there's often the perception that we're a magnet because of the services, because of the weather. I'm not sure that's actually held up by the data.
Since you've become the CEO of Chrysalis, what has been your greatest struggle and your greatest achievement?
Well, I think the greatest struggle was when I took over. It was in the depths of the recession. I became CEO in 2008, the beginning of 2009. So that's when everything was just imploding in the financial markets. And of course, most nonprofits really felt that in terms of the donations that we were getting and our budgets. So taking over in that environment, having to make some staff cutbacks, managing to those difficult budgets, that was really, really hard. It was kind of a trial by fire. But we got through it. We figured out what it took to have success and to make sure that our community understood why we were important, why we were relevant, why we deserved their support. And so we were able to come out of that. And so now, as we look back on that 10 years ago, we've doubled in size. We're helping that many more people. We've got much larger facilities. We're on the verge of opening our next office in Orange County. I'm really proud of the fact that we've been able to respond to the community, deliver these really important services, and hopefully continue to be able to do it at a fast pace, because unfortunately the need is not going away. We're needed now more than ever.
Exactly. Now, where do you see Chrysalis being in the next 5 years or so?
Well, as I mentioned, our strategic plan calls on us to double our outcomes over the next few years, so that's a pretty big goal. We want to open some additional offices. Anaheim is going to be our first test of that in many years. We expect that we will open a couple other offices after that. We've got interest from many, many communities, not just in California, but also throughout the country in what we do. And so I think one of the things we will have to figure out as an organization is how best can we share what we do? Do we open a lot of Chrysalis offices around the country? Do we partner with other organizations that know their communities really well? How can we share what we've learned and what we know works really well in Southern California? Maybe there's a variation of it that can be done in Nashville or Chicago or Philadelphia or another community. We are very open to sharing what we've learned and what we know works best in this community so that folks can take it back to their own community and try to have an impact similar to what we do here.
How can the community and the public in general, how can we help Chrysalis and their clientele?
Well, there's a few ways. They can volunteer to help us. As I mentioned earlier, we use volunteers pretty heavily at all of our offices. So if listeners are nearby one of our offices, we would love to have their help, and soon to open in Northern Orange County. We also, of course, are a nonprofit, so we can always benefit from the community support. We are primarily supported not by government support, but by donations from the community, and so that's really important to us. And then the third part of it is making sure that we've got the opportunity to tell our story in the community and make sure that folks understand that hiring somebody that may have a few blemishes in their background is not a scary thing. It may feel at once it is scary, but we know from our experience these are some of the hardest working, most loyal employees you'll ever find. And so finding advocates in the community that can help us spread that work, that word, and hire some of our folks, that's always really important to us as well.
Now, where can people get more information? I imagine you have a website.
We do. It is changelives.org. Change, changelives.org. Has a lot of information on our organization as well as some specific links on how folks can get involved in our work.
And I imagine that if someone wants to make a donation, they'll be able to find it right on that website as well.
Yes, there's a donate button right up at the top of the website, so absolutely.
Okay, great. Mark Loranger, CEO and president of Chrysalis, a Los Angeles-based nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a pathway to self-sufficiency for homeless and low-income individuals. Thanks very much for joining me today. Some great information there, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.